introduce myself. I'm from South Africa, and for more than 40 years, I've been working in some of the most marginalized communities in my very diverse country. We have 11 official languages, and sadly, we're regarded as one of the most unequal countries in the world. While some people have much more money than they could possibly spend in their lifetime, about a third of our children do not have enough nutritious food to eat, and many children go to sleep hungry and afraid. When we think about diversity, we often think about different religious and ethnic groups, and we focus mostly on different practices, like the languages we speak, the food we eat, and the way we dress. Today, let's take a step back and talk about different knowledge systems and the way coloniality prioritizes some knowledges over others. The global education system, and even the way we describe rights, is based on a Western way of thinking. I'm going to explain what I mean and then ask you to consider some questions based on our discussions. Colonialism is a practice by which a powerful nation directly controls less powerful nations and uses their wealth to make itself more wealthy and powerful. For example, my country, South Africa, was colonized first by the Dutch and then by the British. Many countries, like my own, although the colonialism has ended, the colonial thinking continues. There are many different knowledge systems. For example, African First Nations people in the Americas and Canada, Aboriginal in Australia, Maori in New Zealand, Sami, Inuit, and others. Indigenous knowledges have been made invisible by colonial discourses and taken for granted scientific truths. Post-colonial theorists like Santos explain that modern Western thinking is a system of visible and invisible distinctions that divide social reality into two realms that make what is in the other realm or on the other side of the line invisible or non-existent. In this way, popular, lay, plebeian, peasant or indigenous knowledges vanish as commensurable or relevant knowledges. Let's look at an example from my country of the kind of knowledge that is made invisible by colonial thinking. In African philosophy, there are two fundamental concepts, Ubuntu and the ancestors. Ubuntu is an African word depicting humanity and compassion based on the notions of connection and belonging. It's often described with the statement, "I am because you are." There is no binary between mind and body, living and dead. And you might often find somebody saying, "My mother visited me last night." Even though, and there's no surprise, even though people might know that the visitor has not been living for some time, ancestors and elders as future ancestors play an important role as guides and mentors, and communicating between the living and the dead, and most importantly, in maintaining social harmony. Many indigenous knowledges acknowledge this connectedness and relatedness that is not limited to only humans or even to the material world. In this way, knowledge is understood as a way of being, not as a noun or a thing, something to be used against others. Let's look now at different constructions of identity and belonging that emerged from colonial thinking and connectedness. A colonial construction of identity is individualistic. Children learn from a young age where and with whom they belong. based on ideal notions of family and community. School topics in South Africa often include my family, my school, my nation. There is a strong emphasis on right and wrong answers and a big emphasis on competition. On the other hand, a relatedness or connectedness construction of identity is collective. People regard harmonious relations as the foundation for well-being. This does not mean an absence of conflict, but people are encouraged to pay attention to dreams and messages from the spiritual realm and to hold conversations in the material world. From listening to the inside and the outside, people learn to accommodate multiple coexisting perspectives. So the big difference is between coloniality's search for certainty and Indigenous knowledge's comfort with uncertainty. So now, I'd like you to consider some questions based on what I've been explaining. Could acknowledging our connectedness help us to resolve problems with words and not violence? Could acknowledging our relatedness, not just to other humans, but to everything, including plants, animals, the sky, the ocean, the stones, help us to treat our planet more respectfully? How could recognizing Indigenous knowledges help us to build a more peaceful and sustainable future? How could thinking about different knowledge systems help you in your work as an educator and as a member of your family and your community?